Welcome to the Bullpen. This is our monthly look at what's going on in the marketplace with Tommy Gersathi from Advanced Trading, of course, based at Mayville, North Dakota. Tommy, as always, we appreciate the chance to connect.
Thanks, Don. Incredible volatility here in the markets recently.
Yeah, just looking at, I came into the studio this morning, started looking at the screen, and we had double-digit gains in the wheat market, gains in corn and soybeans. We've certainly backed off of that, but a lot of it was dealing with what was going on with that explosion at the dam in southern Ukraine, in the Russian-controlled area of Ukraine. Both sides are blaming each other for it. But when that market backs off, what's that say about the conflict in that part of the world?
Well, a lot of things are happening, but I sent a text out to clients earlier today just saying that both war and weather are difficult to trade, and we have both of those. I mean, the initial headline when it hits the markets, you have to understand how thin the markets are in the middle of the night. And when people come buy wheat and panic, they runs those markets up real good. Then as we come into the day session, grain elevators all across America start to open. European traders start talking to American traders, and then they start hedging again. As we come into wheat harvest here in the Midwest, of course, crops, some of the wheat crops here in the United States, although they're in terrible condition, they became in better condition, so less worse. And the whole world just does not have enough money to go buying ships and ships and cargoes of wheat and storing it forever. So during the war, everyone bought extra of everything and said, we're just going to stock up. Now we're going back to that just-in-time market, and we had several year high prices. So countries all over the world, especially Russia, are leaking wheat to the market, and also Russia stealing Ukraine wheat and leaking that to the market. So absolutely fascinating what's happening in the world grain trades. If you didn't, it's hard to imagine that if you didn't know the war was going on and everything else, if you looked at a wheat chart, you'd say, how was it at $12, $13 a year ago? And why did it have a five in front of it as we came into the end of May?
You talked about weather. Obviously, we've got very minimal rain in that forecast for the next couple of weeks. The way it looks, we're very hot, 80s and 90s. We're seeing 90s here in North Dakota. That's zapping into that moisture. What's the situation you're seeing, particularly in the Corn Belt? I'm curious.
Well, I'm in Northwest Indiana today, and it's extremely dry. Western Michigan, all Central Indiana, having one of the driest springs in record. Some farmers I talk to, they're still optimistic. They said, if you were ever to have a dry time, now's the time. They're looking for rain. The next key weeks will be so important. If the rains come, these markets will start to really back off and settle into a range. If the rains don't come, then we're going to be producing less bushels. I guess the whole key there, Don, is do we have the demand? You figure if we produce less bushels, that's really bullish, but is there the demand there to lift the market up? So we don't know. But yes, it is extremely dry in the Midwest. There's rain in the forecast. Every drought has rain in the forecast. We'll see. It's really interesting to see where it's raining. Massive rains in Texas, Oklahoma, California. Folks in Kansas had more rain in the last 2 weeks than they had in the last year. You're starting to see rain catch up. But when you look at that eastern map, extremely dry right now.
You know, I looked at the last numbers from USDA. They were talking a record corn yield of, I think, 181.5. When you start this crop in this type of dry conditions, it's got to be hard to sustain those kind of numbers when we look at the upcoming supply-demand report.
Yeah, especially when you look at Monday's crop conditions report, look at the state of Illinois, how that did. Some real, real problems there when it comes to the markets and crop conditions. Now, that's where they started. Is that where we finish? We have a USDA report Friday. Maybe they start to adjust those numbers and we get that bullish push. They set the stage high. The genetics and Mother Nature could get us there. We're starting to have Mother Nature push back. We'll see. I can't express how key the next few weeks are.
You know, from an economic standpoint, we've got a lot of things happening. There's some monthly numbers on inflation. We've got the Fed meetings going on. So we're going to be talking interest rates again. What kind of play does that have for us in the ag commodity market?
Interesting enough, happy to report that the United States stock market, both the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones and S&P, hit recent 52 weeks high Friday and Monday as we came in. If you watch TV, you'd think the stock market's crashing. And although around Christmas and New Year's, it did have a pretty good crash in the tech sector, Not only did they get all that back, but they have incredible gains in the tech sector. For interest rates, it means higher interest rates in the short term are here to stay. The Fed may go up another quarter, another half. If the stock market's making all-time highs and the labor market's tight, the Fed's one tool they have is to raise interest rates. Now, talked to a neighbor the other day. They said they bought a new car instead of a used car because the interest rate on the new car was so much lower than if they would have bought a used car. So it's working. Talk to friends in the housing market. Prices in homes in hot areas are now off 10 to 15%. So as we watch those home prices cool down, inflation's cooling. As you know, a major election coming in 24. And on the political front, everyone wants to run around, especially the current administration and all parties involved, and say they were the one who cured inflation. So, of course, the Fed owing $31, $32 trillion, they're not all too happy. The United States government, not the Fed. The United States government owes that money. There's an incredible amount of interest being paid and earned, which totally changes grain marketing. And, you know, interesting note, I was listening to a podcast the other day about cattle. And just the overall cost of being in the cattle business has never been higher. Now, of course, we know cattle prices hit record highs, and we'll probably talk about that shortly.
Yeah, this cattle market's been on fire. Even when this corn market's been stronger, we've been able to see this feeder cattle market continue to march forward and see some rally. That says a lot about what's happening in the fundamentals for this cattle market.
Yeah, one of the biggest rallies in history, hit record highs in cattle. When it comes out in Wall Street Journal and Zero Hedge and everyone else tweeting about it, it's hitting the mainstream. But if you don't have the physical cattle and the demand's there, then the price can stay hot right until it doesn't. And like every great bull market, everything's really, really bullish at the top, and then the floor falls out. We'll see if cattle do the same thing.
All of these markets we talk about, volatility continues to be part of that discussion. From a farmer's perspective, how do they work through managing a time of extreme volatility?
We like to, in a weather market or all markets, when the markets are going up, if you're not ready to sell, in some markets you can't, like the hog market and the cattle market, they sell right before, or even great grain traders. You know, we like to keep that floor under there. We like to have a put and manage that put, roll that put up a few times. Can't tell you how volatile we are in Sunday night opens or Monday night opens, where you get a chance to make your floor better. Of course, if you do want to sell product, have your offers ready in the cash market, ready to go at levels that you see fit. If you're not ready to sell cash, the only other tool we have right now is, of course, you can, well, there's a few tools you can sell futures, but the more conservative approach is to buy the put, roll it up in the weather market, Don.
Anything else you should take note of here as we wrap up our conversation?
You know, respect interest rates. It's not free to store a bushel anymore. It's not free to carry a bushel. It's not free to have labor move that bushel around. Keep an eye on board of trade spreads. Look at the market in multiple year timeframes. That may help change your perspective that the great, great, great commodity bull market is slowly coming to an end. Of course, I'm not talking about cattle. Definitely talking about grains and small grains.
No doubt. Tommy, it's always appreciate the chance to talk.
Thank you, Don.
Tommy Grisafi with Advanced Trading, based at Mayville, North Dakota. Until our next edition of the Bullpen, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.